We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and we are talking more general issues until we get to the world of politics. And so let me do a little bit of that. Today is April 21st, 2008, and it was on this day in 1865 that Abraham Lincoln's funeral train left Washington to head for Illinois. He had been shot on a week ago on the 14th. Of April and died on the 15th, as we talked about last week. And it was on this day in 1986 that Geraldo Rivera opened a vault that belonged to Al Capone. They made this big deal and built a whole TV show around it. It was at the Lexington Hotel in Chicago, and there was nothing inside of any particular interest. More interesting was 2 years early in 84, doctors had found the virus that caused AIDS, and that happened in France. Hard to believe the French could do anything worthwhile, isn't it, you conservatives out there? But there it is. And let's see, what else do we need to talk about? Well, I guess I'll save the this is political stuff. We'll save a little bit of that. China is getting ready for the Olympics, and the Washington Post had an article today about how they are falling short on their promises about the Olympics, their political promises, even their promises about pollution. So I'm not going to go into that in any detail, but it's worth noting that everything that people suspected might happen has kind of happened. The other things worth noting, another sad note besides Danny Federici's death last week, is that it was 1 year ago last week, last Wednesday, April 16th, that the Virginia Tech shootings took place. So Virginia Tech and the state of Virginia was marking this last week. And it's too depressing to say too much about, except people are trying to come to grips with it. And in the world of international politics, Robert Mugabe is still bamboozling the people of Zimbabwe. If you haven't heard much about this issue, it's because we're worried about whether Barack Obama is wearing a lapel pin and whether or not John McCain's losing his temper too much and all of those trivial things, instead of focusing on some of the important issues. So it's been 3 weeks, and the Mugabe's government has yet to release the results of an election. They released the congressional equivalent of congressional election results within 48 hours, but they have not yet released these. And they're in the middle of a recount, and now as of today, they have frozen the recount. So people are suspecting, and I think rightly so, that they are in the process of stealing the election. Mugabe is a hero who's been in power since 84, I think, and he lost the election, apparently. But he can't seem to bring himself to... Oh, he's been in power longer than that. He's 84 years old, I guess it is. That's right. That's where the 84 comes from. I forget what year he came to power, probably much earlier than that. But it's time for him to go, and he doesn't seem to realize it. You know, it's eerily similar to what some other countries are going through, like us. And let's see. Oh, I finished with the Pope, but it was worth mentioning one thing. I'm watching film of the Pope arriving the first day at the White House. And, you know, I'm still amazed that President Bush has not gotten better at the ceremonial part of the job. You would think that'd be the one part of the job he could handle. But at least twice I saw him put his hand around the back of the pontiff and guide him. Now, admittedly, the Pope's 81, but I don't believe you touch the Pope, okay? You might kiss his ring if you get lucky enough to get that close to it, but you're not supposed to touch the Holy Father, okay? And Bush, in an attempt to be, kindly and guide him, put his arm around his back more than once, and I don't think that's protocol. I could be wrong about that, and I didn't see anybody else criticize it. But the other thing that was hilarious was when the Holy Father finished his remarks, I guess it was in the Rose Garden the first day. By the way, they had 20,000, was it 20,000 people showed up trying to get here? I think they only got like 15,000 in there. But it's the largest crowd ever to be on the White House grounds for any kind of a ceremony. And when he finished his remarks and the president congratulated him, I think, again, he touched him, touched the Pope. He said something like, "Very good, Holy Father," whatever his first remark was. He says, "Awesome speech." I just find it amazing that we have a president who turns to the vicar of Christ and says, "Awesome speech." It's kind of the way, you know, teenagers talk about pizza. Anyway, enough about that. Oh, the president also spoke last week, and I guess we're moving into politics. The president also spoke last week about goals for emissions, and he gave a global warming speech. Of course, there's a global warming conference on in Europe. I think it's in Europe. It's involving the Europeans and the rest of the world. And once again, the United States is being left behind because the Bush administration doesn't have a very forward-looking policy on this. So every so often, Bush trots out a speech, and each time he goes a little bit farther saying, okay, I guess we were wrong when we said it was junk science way back when, or we thought it, the science was wrong. And so they've begrudgingly come closer and closer to admitting that we need to do something. They've admitted global warming is real, that is, it's some of it is man-made, but he's still clinging to this voluntary program thing, arguing that it will hurt the economy. Never mind that we're spending $1 trillion elsewhere on war that we don't need to be doing. This would hurt the economy too much. So he came out with this speech in which there were expectations raised, and then we end up with same old, voluntary quotas, et cetera, et cetera. So just a disappointing approach overall. And, you know, that's going to do it for this this piece of it. Let me move on to the debate, because an interesting thing is going on both on the Republican and the Democratic side. Let me start with the issue of what Barack Obama is going through. And what Obama is going through is essentially trial by fire here. He's had a tough week, and he's had several tough things happen in the last couple of weeks, and so that includes the issue of, well, I was thinking of Bill Ayers first, but that's not the main issue. The issue was his bitter comment, if you've been following that. Before that, it was Reverend Wright, and then the third one is one that the right wing has been trying to whip up, and that is this whole issue of Obama and Bill Ayers. And so, you know, you could call these gaffes, essentially. I'm sorry, the bitters comment is a gaffe. But the thing about Bill Ayers is kind of weird. So before we deal with the bitter one, let's deal with Bill Ayers here. Now, what happened here is that in the debate with ABC last Wednesday, George Stephanopoulos and Charlie Gibson started in on Obama for about the first 40 minutes, piling on the way they piled on Hillary. I mean, the way journalists piled on Hillary in that New Hampshire debate going back many months. Now, what's interesting about that is it brought Obama down a peg, although it doesn't seem to have hurt him too much in the polls. And what's got the left wing up in arms about this is that Sean Hannity, and it was another conservative talk show host whose name escapes me, they suggested the question to George Stephanopoulos when he was on their radio shows the previous week. And so the Bill Ayers issue has been in the news. And, you know, the reason I bring this up is last week I listened to a little bit more talk radio than I usually get a chance to. And so I heard large segments of Sean Hannity's show of several different days. When I say large segments, I mean 10 to 15, 20 minutes, which is more than most of you would be able to stand of him if you are regular listeners to me, because there's just no intellectual honesty from a guy like Sean Hannity. He's very good at what he does, but he's extremely partisan. And he kept saying things like, "Now, I have nothing against Barack Obama." And then he launches another attack on him. Basically, his position is that I couldn't vote for Obama and you shouldn't either because he's out of touch with our values. He's a liberal, an ultra liberal. But also, he doesn't have the character to be president. He's a man of bad character. But otherwise, I got nothing against him. So part of his point for bad character is first the Reverend Wright thing. And he's proud to point out, Sean Hannity is, that they've been hammering on Reverend Wright for the better part of a year before the media picked it up. And that part's true. And then he went on to say that he has to do the same thing with Bill Ayers. A caller called in and said, "Why do you keep repeating this about Bill Ayers, this former Weather Underground guy who Obama knows? And he's basically doing guilt by association again." And Hannity says, "Well, you know, sometimes you gotta keep repeating yourself to catapult the propaganda," to quote George W. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Bill Ayers and the whole mess with the way Stephanopoulos framed this question that is really just so much guilt by association. It's pretty bad. But for now, in honor of the passing of Danny Federici, let us listen to a little bit more of The Boss with Danny in the background.
The fruity plains.
You're listening to the Andy Finn Show.
The smooth talk of the town.
Cool. We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and we're talking about Bill Ayers. Sean Hannity has made this a cause celebre the last few weeks on his show. He pounds on it every day. And finally, George Stephanopoulos asked Obama about it in the debate last week. And then John McCain brought it up when John McCain was interviewed on ABC this week. This week on Sunday. ABC Sunday is what it was. So I want to play the cut of McCain discussing Bill Ayers and Obama, and then we'll talk a little bit about it.
But his relationship with Mr. Ayers is open to question.
Why?
And because if you're going to associate and have as a friend and serve on a board and have a guy kick off your campaign that says he's unrepentant, that he wished he'd bombed more.
Okay, let me stop there. When he says kick off his campaign, of course, we are talking not about the most recent campaign, but a campaign back for the state Senate back in the early 90s. And McCain says that Ayers said that he wished he'd bombed more. Okay, he's picking up these right-wing talking points from the conservative radio show stuff, and maybe directly from Sean Hannity. That is simply not true, that he wished he'd bombed more. The exact quote was, quote, I don't regret setting bombs. I feel we didn't do enough. Okay. And basically, when he said later, asked later to explain what he meant by he had no regrets, he said that he didn't regret his efforts to oppose the Vietnam War, and that we didn't do enough meant that efforts to stop the war were clearly inadequate because it dragged on for a decade. Okay. And he specifically said he didn't mean it to say that he wished he'd sent more bombs. So he's already clarified that remark if there was any way to misconstrue it. And yet the right wing is out there claiming that Bill Ayers is, this unrepentant terrorist. So let me back up and talk a little bit about who he is and what he's accomplished in life. Because you won't hear any of this from Sean Hannity or, of course, from John McCain. I wouldn't expect McCain to get into it, but the intellectual dishonesty from Sean Hannity is worth coming to grips with. So today, Bill Ayers is a distinguished professor of education at the University of Illinois at Chicago, and his wife is a faculty member at Northwestern University. Okay, Bill Ayers has a two master's degrees and a doctorate in education from Columbia University, and what that means is that while he might someday be able to be a radio talk show host, people like Sean Hannity couldn't possibly do his job, okay? And Bill Ayers has edited and written a lot of articles and books on education theory, on policy, and on practice. And Mayor Daley, the current mayor of Chicago, has put him in charge of shaping Chicago's school reform program, which is getting kudos around the country for its success. So he has been given back to the community for the last 40 years. Now, back to the Weather Underground. Basically, he was a radical in the 60s. He was at the University of Michigan and got involved in the New Left and SDS, the Students for a Democratic Society, which was a radical organization. And he joined the Weathermen in the late 60s and was underground. Okay. Now, basically, the Weathermen planted bombs, but they always called and told the authorities where they were so that no one would get injured or killed. There are people out there claiming that he is a terrorist and a murderer. It's not true that he's murdered anyone. It is true that three members of the Weather Underground were killed when they were working on a bomb, and Bill Ayers went underground after that. And so the fact that he hasn't completely distanced himself from his past, that he's not ashamed that he opposed the Vietnam War and he thought we should have done more, is enough for Sean Hannity to say he's an unrepentant terrorist, okay? And, of course, Hannity's unwilling to look at the fact that the guy has been committed to doing good for most of his life. I want to read a little something that Bill Ayers has on his website currently, because he, of course, it gets a lot of hate mail now when Hannity brings up stuff like this. So here's this college professor who works in local neighborhoods trying to help people, and he works making education better. And he's not out trying to make a fortune, okay? He's trying to do good and make contributions to society. Here's what he published on his blog about a week ago. Day in and day out, I go about my business. I hang out with my kids and my grandchildren, take care of the elders, I go to work. I teach and I write, I organize and I participate in the never-ending effort to build a powerful movement for peace and social justice. Now and then, and unpredictably, I appear in the newspaper or on TV with a reference to my book, Fugitive Days, a memoir of the revolutionary action and militant resistance to the Vietnam War, the years of miracle and wonder, and some fantastic assertions about what I did, what I said, and what I believe. The other night, for example, I heard Sean Hannity tell Senator John McCain that I was an unrepentant terrorist who had written an article on September 11th, 2001, extolling bombings against the U.S. and even advocating more terrorist bombing. Senator McCain couldn't believe it, and neither could I. My email and my voicemail filled up with hate, as happens, mostly men with too much time on their hands, I imagined, all of them venting and swearing and breathing heavily, a few threats, watch out, you deserve to be shot, and from someone called Satan@hell.com, I'm coming to get you, and when I do, I'll waterboard you. All of it wildly uninformed. I've written a lot about the Vietnam period, about politics, about schools and social justice, and I read and speak about all of it. I encourage people to argue, to agree or disagree, to discuss and struggle, to engage in conversation. I believe deeply in the pedagogical possibilities of dialogue, of listening with the possibility of being changed, and of speaking with the possibility of being heard. and I believe in revitalizing the public square, resisting the eclipse of the public, and expanding the public space, searching for a more robust and participatory democracy. Talking to one another can help. So in that spirit here is another attempt at clarity. So as I'm going to interrupt Bill Ayers, the comments I'm reading from his recent blog post, to point out that what happens when he says, when they said that, when Sean Hannity said that he'd written an article on September 11, 2001, extolling bombings, the New York Times had interviewed Bill Ayers, and coincidentally, they published it on 9/11, 2001. It came out a few hours before the World Trade Centers were bombed. Okay, so Sean Hannity doesn't tell you that. What they say is, here he is in the midst of 9/11 saying, I wish there were more bombings. Not intellectual honesty, is it, folks? Even if you're a Sean Hannity fan, you have to admit that hiding that fact contributes to the misperception that Sean Hannity wants to create. So back to Bill Ayers' blog item from last week. So here in the spirit is another attempt at clarity. Number one, regret. I'm often quoted as saying that I have no regrets. This is not true. For anyone paying attention, and I try to stay wide awake to the world around me, always, life brings me misgivings, doubts, uncertainty, loss, regret. I'm sometimes asked if I regret anything I did to oppose the war in Vietnam, and I say no, I don't regret anything I did to try and stop the slaughter of millions of human beings by my own government. Sometimes I add, I don't think I did enough. And then it's deleted, that he has no regrets for setting bombs and thinks there should be more bombings. The illegal, murderous, imperial war against Vietnam was a catastrophe for the Vietnamese, a disaster for Americans, and a world tragedy. Many of us understood this, and many tried to stop the war. Those of us who tried recognized that our efforts were inadequate. The war dragged on for a decade, thousands were slaughtered every week, and we couldn't stop it. In the end, the U.S. military was defeated and the war ended, but we surely didn't do enough. That's his perspective on Vietnam and his regrets. Number two is Bill Ayers' blog item from last week again. Number two, terror. Terrorism, according to both official U.S. policy and the U.N., is the use of threat of random violence to intimidate, frighten, or coerce a population towards some political end. This means, of course, that terrorism is not the exclusive province of a cult, a religious sect, or a group of fanatics. It can be any of these, but it can also be, and often is, executed by governments and states. A bombing in a cafe in Israel is terrorism, and an Israeli assault on a neighborhood in Gaza is terrorism. So September 11th were acts of terrorism, and the U.S. bombings in Vietnam for a decade were acts of terrorism. Terrorism is never justifiable, even in a just cause. The Union fight in the 1860s was just, for example, but Sherman's march to the sea was indefensible terror. I've never advocated terrorism, never participated in it, never defended it. The U.S. government, by contrast, does it routinely and defends the use of it in its own cause consistently. That's Bill Ayers on terrorism. And here's the final entry. Is it the final entry from his blog? No, there may be more. No, this is the final item from this blog item. Imperialism. Bill Ayers. I'm against it. And if Sean Hannity and others were honest, this is the ground they would fight me on. Capitalism played its role historically and is exhausted as a force for progress. Built on exploitation, theft, conquest, war, and racism, capitalism and imperialism must be defeated, and a world revolution, a revolution against war and racism and materialism, a revolution based on human solidarity and love, cooperation, and the common good, must win. Now, you can say that's controversial, that capitalism is played out, because most of us believe in capitalism, but you want to call him a lefty, that's fine. I'm sure he'd say that's what he is. But when he talks about materialism, gee, the Pope was complaining about materialism just last week when he was in town, wasn't he? Back to Bill Ayers. We begin by releasing our most hopeful dreams and our most radical imaginations. A better world is both possible and necessary. We need to bring our imaginations together and to forge an unbreakable human alliance. We need to unite to transform and save ourselves as we fight to change the world and save humanity. End of Bill Ayers' posting on his website. Now, I don't agree with everything Bill Ayers says there in his post. Okay, I don't want you to think that because I'm bringing to light the errors, the misperceptions and the mistakes and perhaps lies of Sean Hannity about this, that I agree with everything Bill Ayers says. But every time I hear a right-winger like Hannity get going and accuse him of being an unrepentant terrorist that wants more bombings, I just am amazed at how he just doesn't see any value in people's lives. You know, he talks about we should have the hope of Ronald Reagan or something. To do that, you need people on both sides of the aisle to work for the common good. We're going to disagree about things, but this idea that you have to demonize people who disagree with you is just crazy. You know, I don't think that Sean Hannity is intentionally I don't think he's a, quote, liar just because he's wrong so much of the time on his show. I think he's trying to do the best he can with the limited intellectual capacity that he has. And he's so fearful, and he's so afraid of ideas that are different from his, that he simply finds he has to demonize other people. And so I think he's well-meaning. I just think he needs to do a little growing intellectually, and the idea that there's millions of people a week listening to him, oh, it's just such a shame. In any case, when we come back, we're going to talk about the election a little bit further and about what's happened to McCain and Obama and Clinton this week.